Welcome to Susitna Writer's Voice, area writers reading their work.
Greetings, welcome to Stardate Susitna. I'm the researcher, writer, producer, and host, Kathleen Fleming. In this edition, we'll take a look at the planets visible in the PM and AM sky, the waxing moon, and more about this year's total solar eclipse. Let's begin with the moon. La Luna was new Friday night and is now a waxing crescent, growing thicker and higher in the evening sky. Here's an important fact. The angle of the ecliptic above the western horizon after midwinter and during spring is relatively steep. A more detailed explanation with visual aids will be given to participants in my stargazing class, but for folks who are only listening, perhaps struggling to pay attention, you'll have to watch the moon this week as it travels night after night eastward along the ecliptic through the constellations Aquarius, Pisces, then below Aries by the end of the week. Each successive star pattern is at a higher elevation than the previous one. By the time the moon is a big waxing gibbous, it'll be in the farthest north constellations of Taurus and Gemini. Once again, my recommendation for nighttime ambient light outings, moonlight skiing or snowshoeing, etc., is when La Luna is a waxing gibbous, a few days before full moon. This will occur next weekend. The waxing gibbous is always higher in the sky during early evening. Full moon isn't at its highest until solar midnight, which is at 1 a.m. Alaska Standard Time for our longitude. The most interesting aspect of the moon's movement this week is its visit to Venus and Mars. I hope we'll have clear evenings so we can watch the crescent pass below brilliant Venus and modest Mars on Monday and Tuesday. Ooh la la, that will be a magical scene. Photogenic, the graceful crescent hanging out with the goddess of love and the god of war. Venus is so bright that she looks unnatural, and much fainter ruddy Mars is close, less than a fist width, to the east of Venus. These two will appear closest this week. Then Venus turns back toward the sun, heading westward against the starry background and away from Mars. So this will be an extraordinary week for star and planet gazing, and I haven't even yet mentioned Jupiter in the mornings. The granddaddy of the solar system's planets is Jupiter, more mass than all the rest put together. Its brilliance is surpassed only by Venus, and it's getting brighter as Earth sneaks a little bit closer day after day. Morning people have been enjoying Jupiter for a month or more already, rising in the wee hours and above the south-southwest horizon as morning twilight slowly overwhelms the gas giant. Any clear, dark morning, now before 7:30 or so, find brilliant Jupiter almost directly above the bright star Spica. Okay, memorize the position of the planet above the star. Their relative positions will soon be changing. Like all the planets in our solar system, the true, actual motion of Jupiter is eastward against the background of stars, since we're all moving counterclockwise around the sun, as seen from the north. However, the planets further from the sun than Earth do a little retrograde dance as speedy little Earth passes them in our inside track. Jupiter is on the verge of beginning that zigzag dance. Starting next week, Jupiter will backtrack and head west of Spica. This retrograde motion is much easier to watch when a bright star is nearby, and the brightest star in the constellation Virgo will give us the perfect sky mark. Keep an eye on these two as long as we have darkness to see them in. Right, you'll have to get up earlier and earlier in the AM in order to have a dark sky. If you have a low southern horizon, Saturn is trying to make an appearance at 7:30 a.m. He has just risen in the south-southeast, but the angle of the ecliptic is shallow in the a.m. east during late winter and spring, so Saturn is not going to be an easy target. What else? The stars, man. This is the best evening sky of the year. Orion and his hunting dogs are up by 10:30, and the bright stars above them are high in the big sky as you face south. What a parade of celebs! More first magnitude stars in this one view than in any other part of the entire sky. Get yourself a star chart and get to know these gems. Of the 25 brightest stars seen from Earth, including the Southern Hemisphere, 8 are in this one view. Wow. I'll be talking about these characters more in future episodes of Stardate Susitna. For online star charts, I like heavens-above.com. You can specify your location, date, and time. And to print, I recommend you select black stars on a white background. Much easier to see with your red flashlight outside. Now let's turn to the all-USA eclipse. The path of totality is solely within the United States. I believe that's quite unusual for landfall to include only one country. The last one in the U.S. mainland included Canada. Eclipse chasing is a very international activity. I've been to 5 different solar eclipses, 3 of them with organizations based in the U.S. and included mostly Americans. But even on those trips, we always met lots of other eclipse enthusiasts from other countries. One memorable experience on a trip that was not organized by a U.S. company, it was a few days after the 2008 eclipse, which I witnessed in Western Mongolia. About 50 people, members of various tours, were waiting for a second plane to take us from a small Mongolian Kazakh town back to Ulaanbaatar. I'll keep this long story short and just say that the plane did not come until the next day. But these 50, waiting and waiting, with no information coming from the airline, became familiar with each other, and I was the only American in the bunch. Quite a few Australians, lots of Europeans, several Japanese, plus other nationalities. Just a small portion of the many, many thousands who traveled to somewhere along the Russia-Mongolia-China path of totality. The whole thing was very memorable. This U.S. eclipse will have millions of Americans and tens of thousands of visitors snuggling up to the near 3,000-mile-long center line. I'm thinking that it's not only the disappearance of the sun at midday that will be spectacular, but also the traffic jams. Those that have the leisure of hiking away from roads for a few days of camping and eclipse viewing will be all right, but folks hoping to dash in and out of the path in one day will be, well, frustrated by the crowds. My advice is definitely get to the center line with family and friends, but give yourself enough time to just kick back and enjoy the day. Share a glass of celebratory champagne. Compare experiences. Look at each other's digital photos. Discuss the best aspects and what you would do differently next time, since you are going to get hooked and will want to start planning your next eclipse trip. I'm already thinking South America in 2019 or 2020. There are tons of websites about the 2017 USA solar eclipse, and I've left a very thorough book about it at the Talkeetna Library behind the counter. Ask a librarian. I've also left packets of info and eclipse shades available to purchase for a small fee at the KTNA office on 2nd Street. If you can't leave Alaska in August this year, you'll still get to see the moon cover nearly half of the sun through eclipse shades and other safe viewing techniques. Call or email KTNA if you want to chat with me about the August 21st eclipse. It seems to be rising in general awareness. Make your plans before all the hotels are booked and the rental cars are reserved. Guess that's enough for now. Watch the evening sky for the mismatch of Venus and Mars, the crescent moon near them Monday and Tuesday. Check out the morning sky for Jupiter above Spica, and bask in the starlight of the late evening sky featuring 8 of the 25 brightest stars in the whole sky. So many reasons to keep looking up.
You've been listening to Susitna Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can hear these recordings anytime at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome. You may call the station at 733-1700 for more information.